audiences only and contains strong sexual language.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast. This is the Bomber. And we are here we're here to do another episode after like a month. I feel like a lot has happened since then.
That's our schedule now.
Yeah, I understand that. But like 30 days like now feels like a year.
That's
like,
true.
I feel like a historical event happens every 48 hours or some shit.
That's also probably true.
I'm drinking Red Bull and vodka, and I, you know, as I was pouring the Red Bull in my drink, I was thinking about that song, rum, how does it go? I'm drinking rum and Red Bull. Yeah.
But you never drink rum and Red Bull.
Who the fuck drinks rum and Red Bull? Like,
no one.
Wait, so for those of you who haven't realized it yet, we actually have a guest on our show because today we wanted to talk about...
Well, if you haven't realized it so far, like until the world stops ending, we're going to just have guests on the show. So just expect that. But yeah.
Yes. Although there is an episode I was planning to do without guests that I could still do with guests. So maybe I'll rethink that whole thing. Anyway, today we wanted to talk about single women in the lifestyle. Now, clearly, neither the Belle or I are single women.
No.
So we thought that in order to really do this topic justice, we needed to have an actual single woman in the lifestyle on our show. And today we have a single woman on our show, and her name is Elle, and she's come to represent the single women in the lifestyle. Say hi, Elle.
Hey, everyone. Nice to be on the podcast. Thank you guys for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. Elle, I think the first time we met you was at one of Amore Getaways events. I think it was one of their Canna events. And I remember where you were sitting because you are a gorgeous woman. You had your makeup done. Your lips were all thick and full looking. You had these pants on. And I was like, damn, this chick is bad. Where did she come from? But yeah, I think that was our first interaction. And I remember us having a conversation. I don't know if you knew that we were the Bomber and the Belle at that point, though.
I did not know that you were the Bomber and the Belle at that point. I had just been introduced to the podcast like literally a week or so before that. But in speaking to Belle, I later on found out that you guys were the Bomber and the Belle. And yeah, we had a good conversation. Belle and I had a good conversation. I know our conversation, Bomber, was a little short, but yeah, we had a good conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elle wasn't feeling me like that. That's what it was. Why it was short. I'm not as charming when I'm smoking weed, so it's all right. Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about single women in a lifestyle. We have some questions for you just to introduce, you know, what your experiences look like, and then we're going to talk about just our thoughts on what it is to be a single woman, and, you know, we just would love to hear your thoughts along with that. Just before we start, number one, I just want to go back to that conversation I was talking about earlier. Because it's really important that we sort this Red Bull and rum thing. I think it's really important. I think it's something that'll be valuable to our listeners. So, Elle, you said, are you a rum and Red Bull fan? Is that a drink that you?
I've had Red Bull with a lot of things, but never with rum. I actually am a rum girl. I just finished off this great bottle. I wish I could remember the name of it, that I picked up when I was in St. Lucia last year. And it's amazing. Like, it's a St. Lucian based rum, so they only sell it there. But no, I have never had rum and Red Bull. It doesn't sound like something that my taste buds would enjoy.
Yeah. I'm not much of a rum drinker.
Yeah, you don't really drink rum at all.
Yeah, because it never works out for me. Just it tears up my stomach. But vodka, gin,
tequila,
anything dark that is not Hennessy.
Yeah, vodka is the devil for me, so that's the negative.
Wow, so you're not on that Tito's life.
I am not at all.
People like Tito's so much. What's the
Tito's? Flavor is not an issue. It's more of the type of effect that it has on me. It's not my friend.
Oh.
It's not your friend as in you get too drunk, or is it's not your friend because
I generally get too drunk and want to just sleep with everything.
I can understand that because vodka for me is like water. Like I can't taste it. I just can't taste it anymore. And so then you just keep drinking it.
And then keep knocking it back, and next thing you know, it's like, wait a minute, it's the next day, and I did all of these crazy things. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like for you, Elle, a vodka would be a good lifestyle drink. Am I misinterpreting this?
Well, maybe she don't want to sleep with everything.
It would not be a good lifestyle drink for me because I am a, more conscious lifestyler. Like, I like to have fun, but I like to get to know the people I'm having fun with, even if it's just a brief conversation and things like that. And sometimes you just can't get that when you're too drunk.
Yes, I know that's the truth. And we're going to dig into that just a little bit. I wanted to just get this quick housekeeping thing out of the way and give our Patreons a shout out again. I think we got maybe a couple more since last time, but maybe I'm wrong about that. So I just wanted to shout out some of our Patreon members because some people are actually giving us money and supporting us financially because this podcast life is not free.
No, it's not.
And we're trying to upgrade some of our stuff. So we really appreciate all the support. Actually, I can't believe people are actually doing this. I thought maybe we'd get like $2 or $3 a year.
We're astonished every time.
Yes. And we cannot thank our supporters enough. And we really try to get as much Patreon content out there as possible. We throw content on there at least once a week. So I hope our Patreon members are enjoying that, and I can only assume that they are because they keep giving us money. So we appreciate it.
And we have a good time in the chat.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. The community's off the chain, the band community. So let me just shout these folks out. So we got Brown Girl, Chadwick, Clifton, Frederick, Christy, Mike, Nisha, Ricky, Redonia. I love that name. Robert and Silverback. That name I love even more. Thank you guys for supporting us. So shout out to all our Patreon members. All right. So let's get back to talking about what this episode is going to be about. Actually, let me go back because I want to acknowledge that the world is just about upside down right now.
I thought we had been in the upside down.
Or
do we just keep turning?
Maybe.
No, maybe they're shaking it. Maybe it's like a purse. You know, you dump it, but you know you got those things in those little crevices, and so do you shake it a little bit? Maybe it's one of those.
Just keep shaking out stuff.
Right.
Yes, because we keep shaking out all these racist companies and individuals. All the Karens are getting fired. So one thing I don't understand is, like, by now, you should know how social media works, right? And you should know, like, when someone pulls out a camera or takes a picture of you, that information is no longer in your hands and can go anywhere. So I don't understand why these people keep doing this stuff on the internet, knowing Black Twitter is going to find you and your employer and ruin your life.
Because they don't care. They're so blinded by hate that they have. They just, it doesn't even faze them.
You know,
I just can't hate somebody so much that I'm willing to lose money over it.
Right. And that's always been my thing. Like, if it's not giving me income, like one of my favorite t-shirt people on Instagram, I'm going to plug them, Cab Customs. She has a shirt that says, if it's not giving you orgasms, income, or inspiration, you don't need it in your life. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
We actually posted our thoughts on the stuff that's going on as far as the unrest and police brutality and all that stuff, because we didn't want, you know, we try to keep this podcast as unpolitical as possible, although it's sometimes it's really hard. But I just, you know, I wanted to highlight one thing, and it's the Confederate flag thing and the Confederate like statues around the country, because the Belle and I were just talking about it, and it's the one thing we just can't quite understand. We can understand why the flags and the statues are coming down. We don't understand why they were up in the first place.
Right. So my thing is like, why would those not be symbols of treason and traitors?
Right.
Like, you know how you say, you know, oh, if you say this or you say something, then that's, you know, to be contributed as, you know, you an act of treason. It could be an act of treason. I don't understand how you supporting the Confederacy is not an act of treason. Like, they tried to break the country apart. Right. Like, they tried to fight to succeed from the Union. I don't understand. Like, and they lost. So y'all are proud losers. I mean, I understand being a good sport, but I equate it. So what if, you know, those people, instead of flying the Confederate flag, they were flying the British flag and naming these bases and putting up statues of British generals. Like we defeated the British so that we could have the United States and independence from Britain. So saying we defeated the Confederates so that we could be a united Union. So I don't understand, like, why someone was like, oh, it's okay to fly these flags and have these statues up in the first place.
And they're symbols of pride for who? I don't understand.
I don't understand. Like, again, y'all lost. So. Right.
And do y'all know what y'all were fighting for? Like, I don't know what it's about. Like, I don't get it. And the thing is, like, these statues are in places I didn't even realize. I was driving by all the time. Like, statues, you know, you don't know where, you know, half the statues you're driving by are for. But I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I found out there was a statue not too far from my job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that was a Confederate statue? Like, this isn't even, like, this isn't a racist town. I thought that was some like dirty South Southern shit, and it's like right in our backyard.
Yeah.
So, side note, fun fact: I actually went to high school with a girl who was a descendant of Robert E. Lee, and we were actually real cool.
You guys, really? Do you want to reach out to her and?
No, I'm just saying.
She might be able to answer these questions. Look, no judgment. If somebody wants to send us a message and let us know what this is about, because this is one of those, I'm black and I'm just not interested in like that history, outside of the fact that it was like, you know, we had to defeat the Confederacy in order to be free. That's how I see it.
Right.
Don't understand the statue thing. I don't understand the Confederate thing. So please enlighten us, blackandkikilifestyle@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. All right, moving on. So like I said, we're going to talk about single women in the lifestyle, but we have to adhere to our tradition of talking about our hit list. And our hit lists are basically us naming the people that we thought about in the last week or so that we would love to bang, that has been in the spotlight, celebrities, you know, artists, stars, whatever. So, Elle, did you have somebody on your hit list?
I did. After I sat and thought about it long and hard, because I'm not really checking for celebrities that often, just because one of the ones that I would put on my hit list, though, is King Noir. And yeah, the reason is because he recently put out a dildo of himself that was molded after himself. And although I've seen him in plenty of porn, when I saw the dildo, I was like, oh, I really want that. And I was like dying to have it. Like, I was actually really bummed when they sold out, because when it first dropped, they had like this special edition one where he like signed the bottom in something before they like molded it, I guess, for use. And then it came with like this little bag and all this other stuff. And I was like really bummed that they ran out, that they sold out before I was able to get one.
Nice.
King Noir should not exist.
Why?
See, sexy men like that, is just they just don't make it fair for little guys like me.
See,
the man is tall, he's built, he has a bit, so...
He's not like average height for a man, he's not...
Average height? Like, how tall are we talking?
He's probably your height.
Yeah.
I'm taller than King Noir?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I take back my statement.
I was like, you met him, so like, you don't remember this? Well, he was standing on stage when you met him.
Right, but I think there was one point at which we were talking on the same level, but your man is larger than life. I mean, the guy is good looking, he has this deep voice.
He does.
And he knows how to speak. It's not like, oh, he's sexy, he's stupid. No, the guy...
Oh, no, he's smart.
He's smart, too.
Yeah.
It's not right. That's all I'm saying.
But see, I was going to ask you, like, how would you feel, Bomber, about me having a dildo? So it's one thing to have a dildo, just like a generic dildo, but a dildo that's molded after a specific penis.
Oh.
How would I feel about that?
Yes.
I would not give that a thought.
Okay.
I mean, it's your dildo.
Right.
I mean, I'd feel flattered if you wanted to get a mold of my shit, but that wouldn't make no sense.
Right, because I have yours. Right. I just thought it was just an interesting thought. Because, like, it's like you're fucking, not literally, but, you know, kind of figuratively, this specific person with this dildo. Because it's like their mold, right?
So if you got a mold of another guy, I don't know. Maybe, you know, there'd be a time where I'd come home and, you know, you might be really secretive and I'd be like, yo, you were fucking that dildo again, weren't you? Like,
yeah.
And then I find out you'd be taking it with you to lunch and shit and just be having little dildo dates. all right, so King Noir came up. So who would you like to mold a dildo of? You've clearly given this some fucking thought.
So I think I've actually said this person on the hit list before, but they've earned a reappearance specifically for a recent performance. So my person is Kendrick Sampson. And if you don't know who that is, he plays Nathan on Insecure. And I'll do this spoiler-free, try to. The last episode of Insecure, if you see him on the episode, as soon as he came on the screen with the voice and he was biting the lip and he had the eyes, and I was like, Issa, you in danger, girl. You gotta get out of there, because she's trying to pick between these two guys. But yes, he's very politically active. He was at the rallies and all that kind of stuff, marching and all that too. But just him in that specific scene of the last episode, we had to pause.
Yeah, you had to rip the television off of the wall and rub it against your vagina.
He was just so sexy in that scene, and I don't even... You and then you were like, well, I can bite my lip, and I was like, nah, it wasn't the same. It was not the same. But yes, that's my person.
God damn, boy. All right. It's like Nathan and King Noir. Both of these dudes is light skinned. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway.
All right.
I like all flavors of the rainbow.
So right. You had to get a little L. Sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say it's not a colorism thing. I'm with Phil. I like all colors. Of the rainbow.
Okay. Well, my person this week, this is probably going to be embarrassing because I'm not even sure this chick. I mean, I guess she's technically white, but...
No, she's not.
She's not, I mean, then what is she? She's not black.
She's Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern? I think they're technically white, though.
No, she's a person of color.
Look,
she's
up.
Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well...
Those brown people.
Okay, so this is going to be interesting then, right? So my person is my hit list this week. So her name is Mae Kalamaue. I think that's how you say her name. So not very well known, but there's this show called Rami. It comes on Hulu, and Rami is one of the few shows that focus specifically on a Muslim American family that lives in New York. And this woman, May, plays the sister of Rami, who's the main character of the show, who's, you know, who plays the son, and, you know, there's, you know, two parents, and they're like these immigrants that live in this Queens neighborhood in New York. Now, I'll just a little plug for the show. I really like this show. The reason why I like Rami so much is because there's so much nuance on the show. And one example I'm going to mention here is that, now it's funny that you guys call this particular character Brown, because we were watching an episode today in which one of the family members of this family, an uncle, I guess she's the brother of the mother on the show, mm-hmm. happens to be a ridiculously huge racist mm-hmm. against Black people, like holding all of these stereotypes against Black people. So there's this Muslim immigrant man, right, who may experience, like, you know, oppression, racism, you know, xenophobia, who is also a racist. Like, we don't really think of that a lot, that that's even a possibility. Like, another example is like, you know, white Latino racists, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really think about that. That doesn't fit any narrative. But it's out there. And I like when shows throw those kind of things at us, because they really challenge our assumptions about how the world works, how racism works, how discrimination works, and it can really come from anywhere. But so it's interesting you called this girl Brown, because technically Mideasterners, I think they're considered white. If we just looked at race on the spectrum of Black and white, they are not on the Black side, although there are clearly a lot of Black Muslims out there. So anyway, she's really sexy. She plays a sister on the show, and I think she's extremely cute. I thought she was younger than she was, and I'm glad she wasn't. She's actually the Belle's age, so I was happy to hear that. But check her out. Check out Rami. It's a cool show. And that is our hit list. If you want to let us know who might we have missed lately, I haven't really run into a lot of celebrities I'd like to smash lately on television. I don't really run into them in person. But anyway, let us know who's on your hit list and email us at theblackandkinkylifestyle@gmail.com. And I'd like you to just tell us and the audience, Elle, how you got involved with the lifestyle. Can you just tell us that story?
All right. So I got involved with the lifestyle, or should I say I was initially introduced to the lifestyle in college. I used to be a waitress, and one of my coworkers was a white girl that went to a neighboring college, and she and I just became really close. And one day she was talking about going to these parties and wanting to take me. And I was like, I don't know. So then later it came out in a conversation, because she was trying to get me to put her on my fuck buddy at the time. And I was like, okay. And I thought it was awkward because she knew the nature of our relationship. And I was like, you know what? It is what it is. And then come to find out, she was like, well, the parties I want to take you to, everybody's fine with, you know, swapping and this, that, and the other. And I was like, okay, well, what is this about? So I have been, at that point in time, I am a researcher by nature. And so I was just kind of like looking up stuff about it. And later on down the line, I ended up out of a relationship, and it had been heavy on my mind. Like, I had just talked about it, I think, before we decided to end our relationship with my boyfriend that I was with at the time. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this on my own. So I found a lifestyle club that was not even a full 5 miles from my house at the time. And I just went by myself. And that was kind of how everything started.
So when going back to your friend in college, did you end up going with her to this thing she invited you to, or did you not go to that?
I didn't go because it always conflicted. I was in extracurriculars and I had a really rigorous major. So it just never conflicted. I mean, never worked out for our schedule. But she actually was the first female that I was ever with.
Oh, so wait, so was she a coworker or a friend before?
We worked together. Yeah. So she was a coworker, and then she became a friend, just platonic. And then, like I was telling you, she was trying to date my fuck buddy at the time. And so she was trying to tell me about the parties to make it okay that if she started dating him, that it was still okay for me to sleep with him. So I finally like got them together because she would not let up about dating him. And he called me one day and was like, hey, she wants you to come over here. And it was literally booty call hour. So I'm like, what? And he was like, yeah, she wants you to come over. So I went over there and we were watching a movie, and then one thing led to another, and he and I started having sex, and then she started joining in, and I was like, okay, this is different. Like, cause at that point I had never been with a woman, and yeah, that just went from there.
All right.
She was definitely going to set you up for that 34.
She definitely was, but I was open to it. So it wasn't a bad thing.
So we're going to get into your experience at the club, because it sounds like that was your first time in a lifestyle like environment as a single woman. That was sort of the birth of this new era. But I just want to know, when it came to your first experience with that woman, do you mind sharing exactly what she did that you liked that night?
We just did the general female sex thing. So, you know, I was with him initially.
Wait, Elle. I don't know what the female sex thing is, because that could mean scissoring. So apparently a lot of...
I'm about to detail it for you.
Okay. All right.
So, I was on top of him and she was on his face. So she just started playing with my breast and suckling them and such. And so then we went to switch and he was behind her and she was eating me out, and it was pretty great, to say the least. And that was pretty much it. Like, we just kind of went back and forth between oral and just kind of playing with each other. And it's like, you know, being with a woman is just, sometimes it's a different level of intimacy and sensuality that go into it versus being with a man.
This was before you went to that. Was this before or after you went to that club?
This was years before. I want to say I was about 19, 20 when this happened. And then when I started going to the club, I was 25.
Okay. And can you tell us what your experience was like when you went to the club?
So my first experience, I went solo, couple, if you will. I went by myself, but there was a gentleman that I had been conversing with on the club's website, and he was going to meet me there. So we met there and we weren't functioning as a couple. Like, it was kind of, okay, he had never been, I had never been. Let's go, because we've been sitting here chatting. Mm. So when I got there before him, and because the people at the club are pretty, I don't want to say family oriented, but they like to really get to know you. So they knew I was a newbie, and it was kind of, hey, I'm this person, the bartender, if you need anything, let me give you this tour. You know, I see you're here by yourself, so let me introduce you to the regulars. So she introduced me to the DJ, the owner and his wife that were there. And it was just kind of a regular meet and greet for, I'll say, like the first 20, 30 minutes. And because at that point in time, I want to say they had a dress down time, and their dress down time may have been like midnight or something. And it was still before then. So I was just kind of casually talking to people, et cetera. And asking them questions, because I told them, you know, I'm new to the lifestyle, and they were giving me random pieces of information that they were familiar with, going over the rules of their club. And when the guy got there, they kind of did the same with him, but not in the detail that they paid to me. It was almost kind of like, you're here by yourself as a female. Let me kind of coddle you, mm-hmm. if you, or make sure that you feel comfortable. And as things progressed that evening, I think I ended up sleeping with the guy that I met there. But otherwise, it was mainly just enjoying the atmosphere and watching what goes on. I'm the type of person, I like to sit back and, like, I like to chat, but I like to sit back and soak up what's going on before I just dive in. So for me, that was kind of what I chose to do that day, even though I did play with the guy that I originally set up to meet. I was kind of just soaking in everything. And because I felt comfortable, the next time they had an event, I went. And it just kind of became, especially because it was right around the corner from my house, it just kind of became my need a break spot.
You know, you just, first of all, thanks for telling that story. I could visualize it, and I'm really feeling nostalgic right now. because one, you're reminding me of just how much I miss that lifestyle club environment, and how much better it is than the vanilla club. Like, could you imagine going to a vanilla club and just getting a tour? People actually caring about you. Like, really? But I just wanted us to talk about some of the assumptions, some of the beliefs we have about single women. And, you know, so we have a band chat for some of our tiered Patreon members. And, you know, I asked them to provide some questions they might have for you, and just about, you know, issues around single women in general. One of the most interesting questions is how I wanted to start off our conversation. And that was, is there a difference between single women and unicorns? Because when we talk about unicorns, I mean, I think I had typically believed that unicorns were basically single women. But some have suggested that single women are not necessarily unicorns unless they are willing to play with both partners of a couple, rather than, you know, just sort of come into an environment looking for a single partner. That would not necessarily be a unicorn. Right. Phil, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when couples are looking for a single female to play with, they are looking for typically someone who will be interested in both the husband and the wife. And so that person is then deemed a unicorn. But there are single women, we've been to events where there are single women there who are not interested in playing with other women, and are just interested in playing with either other single men or husbands, significant others, whose women are fine with that or want to watch or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts, Elle?
So I agree that they are different. And I actually think that there are degrees to being called a unicorn in the lifestyle, because a lot of times people label the lifestyle anything sexual that could be considered abnormal, if you will. So kind of poly a lot of times runs into the lifestyle. And mm-hmm. I think a poly unicorn versus a lifestyle unicorn are kind of different. The lifestyle unicorn, as you said, is a woman that wants to play with both parties equally. They won't be, you know, have some kind of preference where they're doing more with the man or doing more with the woman. Versus a poly unicorn is someone who is open to both parties and building, of course, a relationship. Mm-hmm. Versus just someone who might want to have regular threesomes.
Right.
And Elle, what would you consider yourself? Or would you consider yourself a unicorn?
I say that I'm a lifestyle unicorn, yes.
Okay. So now when you say that, I'm assuming that that means that, you know, in the lifestyle, you've played with a lot of, you play with couples, essentially.
Yes, I have.
What is it that you actually get out of playing with a couple?
The variety. I like the variety of having pleasure from both places. Like, I'm a pleaser, although I do love receiving as well. So, like I said earlier on, the intimacy is just different between two women versus a man and a woman. And so getting a couple, you get the best of both worlds to me.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, Belle, you saying that's true, but like you would never be a unicorn.
Oh, probably not. No, yeah. I'd be a single female.
Yeah. I have to be honest, when we go to lifestyle events, like, we tend to see a good share of single women and women. I mean, you know, that might have more to do with their accessibility to some of these events, but mm-hmm. like, they're not a rare find. So yeah. That's one thing I've appreciated about the lifestyle. The question I have for you is,
but their mindset is a rare find, because a lot of women go into the lifestyle looking for someone to be in their own relationship with. From what I have seen, like, sometimes that there are some females that just kind of use it for dating.
Mm.
And once they've met whoever, it's like, oh, I don't do that. And it's almost as if, you know, they don't even want to speak of it anymore, versus people who are women who are there, like, for the lifestyle and to have fun in the lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Right.
So do you think that some single women see it as an opportunity for dating because they can kind of get the sex part out of the way? Or
yeah.
What is the, okay.
Yeah, because then that way, the sex part's out of the way, you know that this person's, oh, you know what you're expecting. So 9 times out of 10, like, for me, my thought process at 25 was going in, okay, I probably will be less likely to find someone who has a mismatched sex drive, which was something that was kind of hindering me in relationships. Mm. And you also know that you will be dealing with somebody that won't be judgy. So if they decide to get with you, they're not going to be like, you know, oh, well, how many people have you slept with? Which, although, yeah, we're older, people still ask that. And it's like, what? They would feel like you wouldn't have those judgmental things. So I know, like, where for me, that was where, I don't want to say that was where my thought process was, because I never really wanted to date anyone in the lifestyle per se. But at the same time, my thought process was, I can get as much sex as I want and not feel like, oh, I'm a hoe. Versus if I were to meet some random guy, who knows whether he's telling this person or that person that I wanted to sleep with him and with some other girl and so on and so forth, you know?
Mm-hmm. So if you were to decide to date, or if you're dating now, or choose a partner, would you choose someone vanilla and introduce them to the lifestyle? Or what would your approach be there?
I'm not sure at this moment, only because everybody in my life, at this point, I'm generally pretty honest and upfront with it. So as we start to get to know each other, that's one of the earlier things that I say, because I found that a lot of people, even before, because I took a break from being in the lifestyle for a few years. And what I found after I started dating, during that break, that when I brought it up, people were like, or guys were like, what? You did what? And it was almost like, oh, you will help. You know what I mean? And that was the thing. So then I'd run into things like, actually, this happened, within like the last year or so. I met a guy, and when I finally was like, okay, he seems nice, we've been having a good conversation for a little bit, let me tell him this, or, you know, just kind of throw it out there. So something happened on TV, and somehow I just kind of put it out there in conversation. Mm-hmm. And as he started questioning me about it, I could tell that there was something that he was uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. And then literally the very next day, he picked the pettiest of petty, like, arguments with me. Mm. He sent me a video and said, oh, I love this, what are your thoughts on it? And he didn't watch the video. So I started telling him about one piece of the video that I did not like. And his response was, oh, I didn't get there. And the part that I was talking about wasn't far into the video. And I was like, dude, like, how you gonna send me something to say you love it and you didn't even watch it?
You're right.
And he was like, who are you, the video watching police? And then he proceeded to go through this whole, like, 12-year-old tangent about why I was upset about him, or I wasn't upset, but why it seemed as if I was upset that he didn't watch the video. And then he was like, you know what, this is not, not serving me. I was like, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? So, I mean, it happens. And then later on, his friend told me. His friend was like, yeah, he didn't like that. And that's cool. But my thing is, like, for real, at this point, people have slept with whoever they've slept with, right, regardless of whether they're in the lifestyle or if they're vanilla. So to me, it's kind of like either you take it or leave it.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, the way I see it is, like, regardless of what your preferences are in a relationship, like, that trust piece is really important. Like, I have to feel like I can be me with right. you. Whether you're meeting somebody in or out of the lifestyle, I feel like the lifestyle sort of, you know, in many ways, if you meet somebody in a lifestyle, you know, you're protected against some of the judgments that come about regarding sexuality and sex and all that stuff. But there are plenty of other judgments that can come about. But that tends to be the one people are more afraid of in intimate relationships. I still feel, though, that I still feel like, again, I've said this before, like, in my vanilla relationships, I find ways to get that sexual judgment shit out of the way, like, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that that happens, because I can't even censor myself when I'm with someone. I mean, I just can't. I mean, the bell will tell you. I mean, you guys have heard it on the show. I curse up a storm and I am extremely vulgar. Like, that's not really the bomber. That's literally me. That's that is how I was before the lifestyle, and that's just how I'm gonna be. So yeah. So you're not dating anybody right now, right, Elle?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And you're still having a good time in the lifestyle. Like, do you prefer, what do you prefer, like, clubs, little get-togethers, dates?
I actually prefer, like, private things. Like, parties, similar to the last one that we were both at, or the three of us were at, the More Getaways Pajama Jam. Like, parties like that are cool. But I like stuff that is more, I guess, along those lines or smaller. Mm-hmm. And along those lines. So it's like, you know, oh, someone invites a couple of people to their house or gets a hotel suite and we just have our little whatever we're doing, versus the club atmosphere. I don't know. I think because I did it for so long, it just kind of isn't fresh to me. So it's nothing about it that I'm like, ooh, I gotta go. Although there is a club, Pabu, that somehow I did not ever go to when I was swinging as a younger person. So I just didn't. I want to go now just to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it'll ever still be open again.
Yeah, right. They are not doing so well right now. So I'm hoping they come back. I mean, you know, a lot of these lifestyle spots, if they end up going down, like, I mean, they will create a void that I believe will give birth to itself again. So I'm a little bit more optimistic about that.
Well, yeah, because I mean, well, then this is a side note, but I think the lifestyle will and will have to somewhat reinvent itself in terms of how people gather together and meet each other and have events. And some of these places are opening back up and they're just doing a regular thing and saying we sanitizing and there's right. the extra condoms and masks and all that shit. I don't trust that, but you know, some clubs are doing that. But I think, and we've talked about this a little bit, how we engage the lifestyle, and I think how a lot of people engage the lifestyle will be different going forward. And so it will be a lot more of those intimate gatherings, you know, small parties, small get-togethers with kind of known entities, I think, and it'll, you know.
I'm still going to Hito. We are still going to that shit. Fuck. I'm doing a car wash too. Fuck it. All right. So anyway, all right, so let's talk about what we think are some of the advantages of being a single woman. Now, so I'm going to just get a few of them out of the way real quick. So one is y'all get to go to these fucking clubs. Y'all don't need to bring a partner with you, okay?
And it's usually cheaper, free.
It is. It's free or cheap.
And I think that is it. I don't know. I don't know if there are any other advantages. I'm not sure, but I think that's the thing. Accessibility.
I would add an advantage of being primarily sought after. Like most couples, or I can't say most couples, a lot of couples are coming for single women or to play with single women. And then, of course, there are some single men that come. And then some couples, the men want some variety, so they're looking for single women. So there, I have never run into a situation where I didn't play. I went somewhere and didn't play, and it wasn't my choice.
See, I'm gonna say that, L, that you need to check your privilege because you are a sexy single woman. Not all single women are created equal. Like, no, you're sought after, okay? But there are some women listening to this shit right now that are like, yo, I went to like 5 parties in the last 2 weeks and nobody came checking for my ass. So what's L talking about? I'm just playing with you, but yeah, no, I would agree with that again, provided that you are an
attractive single one.
Well, I think another, and a part of that too is, and again, we've talked about this before, is that with couples, when you're a couple and you're trying to find another couple, you know, making that four-way connection can be so difficult. And when you reduce the variables, that difficulty also goes down. So when you have, you know, mm-hmm. two people just trying to connect with one person, then you have a higher likelihood of success.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is an advantage of not being partnered when you're seeking out play partners.
Yeah.
So I give you a hard time.
Oh my gosh. L, so that leads me to another question. So, like, the Belle and I mean, we talk about this a lot. Like, we do not take one for the team. If, you know, we're not feeling a couple, it's usually the Belle that is not feeling the guy. That's what's happening. Then she's not taking one for the team. If she was to take one for the team, though, man, I would have a hell of a lot more success in this lifestyle. Sometimes I'd be like, yo, Belle, just give the nigga a chance. Like, come on, man. But anyway, so the question I have for you, Elle, is, like, I'd imagine that single women do not take one for the team. Like, I don't know if it's a thing, but somebody in our band was like, you know, is it possible for single women to take one for the team in the sense that you meet a couple and you're not feeling one member of the pair, but you're feeling the other? So you're just like, all right, let me just, you know, sacrifice half my pussy. And
that has happened. It was very early on, actually. So as I told you, when I started, I was in my mid-20s, and I, at that time, Craigslist had personals, and a lot of lifestylers found people through the personals. And so that was kind of my thing as well. If I just was feeling like, oh, I want to do something and I don't know somebody off the top of my head, or the club was closed, I would get on Craigslist. And so one time I don't remember whether I put out the ad or whether I responded to an ad, but I was communicating primarily with the female, and I kept asking her to see pictures of him. And she was kind of like, I don't know whether, I can't remember off the top of my head, whether she was hesitant or whether it was one of those kind of, oh, I just don't have any on my phone, because they were, I don't remember what she said about them and their couple status, but whatever. So she didn't show me a picture. I get there. Dude is just not the most attractive person ever. And this goes into something that will probably come up later, but you guys have said it already. Communication is so important in the lifestyle, especially when you're a couple. Mm-hmm. And so she, I'm like, okay, I came here. Let's just go with it. And I just had a little bit more alcohol, like, okay, maybe I can get through it with some courage juice. So that didn't work. Midway through, like, I realized, I was like, yeah, no. Every time he was trying to, like, do something else, and I was just like, yeah, no. And he actually, the couple ended up, I don't know whether they got into a physical altercation, but they got into a very reckless verbal altercation.
Oh.
Because apparently she previously was calling herself a lesbian.
Ugh.
And prior to dating him. So then when she started, when we got together and I was like, yeah, I'm not interested. She didn't ask me why I was not interested, or, you know, I seemed to kind of be pushing him away, so to speak. And he also didn't ask. He immediately assumed that she set up our activity for the evening just with herself in mind.
And well, she probably did, but yeah, go ahead.
she might have. But she, you know, neither one of them ever questioned me about anything. They just start going at it with each other, and I was like, you know what? I'm out. But yeah, I have done that one time, and I, because of that one time, I won't ever do it again.
So let me, so you know what I was thinking about? I was just thinking, I mean, like I said before on this podcast, the Belle is, you know, she knows what she likes.
Yeah.
Now, Belle, I need you to keep it real for a second.
Oh.
Okay. So let's say, right, we're meeting up with this couple, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You saw the picture of the guy. Mm. Maybe he's not as tall as you like. Maybe he's not as cute. Maybe his body isn't as tight as you like. But what if I told you this dude owns a boat?
A boat?
What kind of boat?
It's a yacht, son.
Yeah?
Yes, it's a yacht.
Listen. I can be swayed. Like, perks and amenities come in all different shapes, forms, sizes. Okay. If he got a boat, and that means we got a boat, like we got access to the boat, then that's, we just going for it then.
So yeah. So I'm like, so I bring up that particular example because I'm wondering, for you, Elle, like, is there a special circumstance where, like, maybe the guy or the girl just has a quality that you find so incredibly irresistible that you're willing to sacrifice the cooch to this, like give one up for the team, like just take this other half of the couple because one of them is just so delicious, so bad? Is that even a scenario you could imagine?
It is, but if I were Belle, no. And I say that because, okay, me thinking about me, I'm thinking about, okay, I would be getting pleasure from both people. Versus with her, she prefers to get pleasure from the man. So if he's the one that's not so hot, and this, she can say all day, oh, this woman's bad, you know what I mean? But it doesn't change the fact that that's not doing anything for her.
This is true.
Unless
and
you're
I can
on
get
a boat.
A pleasure from being on a boat. I also could be satisfied laying my fine black ass out on the boat. But I hear what you're saying. I absolutely hear what you're saying. But see, that's the other thing, too, is at the end of the day, I'm going to still get dick, even if I don't get it from the ugly boat nigga.
Yes,
right?
The bomber is still available.
I mean, I don't mind sucking an ugly nigga's dick.
You've done it before.
I've done it before. I might not fuck him, but I'll suck his dick.
Yeah. Which I still find amazing.
Okay, I guess I could, from that aspect, I could do that as well. Because if I'm sucking dick, I can close my eyes.
Right.
So I close my eyes sometimes when they're on top or when you're on top. It just doesn't work.
That's true.
So I think it's just really important that all of our listeners understand that if you want to holler at the bomber and the Belle, and you have a husband or a boyfriend that isn't the looker, don't even put his picture on your profile page. Just put a picture of the boat.
makes me sound terrible, but I'm really not that bad of a person.
All right. Thank you for indulging in that. So I guess I wanted to jump back to just, you know, we talked about some of the advantages of being a single woman, and you talked about like maybe a negative experience you had. Are there any let's talk about like some of the negative disadvantages. There we go. I'm sorry. It's clearly too much Red Bull and vodka. So one of the disadvantages I can name right now, and then we'll give you a chance to speak on these. But one disadvantage I think is just that, as a single woman, you might not have like the home base at an event. So if you came in alone, and you know, you didn't, you know, go there to meet with anybody, or, you know, you're just completely solo, you don't have sort of that home base. So I know, like, when the Belle and I go out, if, you know, we might separate for a little while, but we still have somebody to come back to if we had maybe an awkward moment or an uncomfortable situation, or we just need to debrief about something. We always have like that home base. Mm-hmm. We also always have somebody to come home with, right? That's never a solo trip. And I guess those are the big disadvantages I can think of. Belle, what about you? Do you have any that come to mind that you've always suspected?
I think it depends on what community that you're in, you know, if you're, you know, with your folks, or if you're completely with people that are unknown to you. But it's also, somewhat of a protective factor too. So not only is it a home base, but if some shit goes down or wrong, like, I know that, you know, I have you there. You know, I'm not fighting nobody, but like, I can, you know,
pull, you could just throw my ass.
You know, well, I could do something if something go, you know, doesn't go right for you. I'm saying, and so having that kind of, cause stuff does happen. People are drinking, you know, and stuff can go left. And so having that kind of protective factor there is there too.
So basically it's like a safety thing with you. I also want to acknowledge what Belle said earlier. You have the break in case of emergency dick available.
Yes.
You got the backup dick, mm-hmm. like, you know, and I got the backup, you know, pussy or whatever, but we're talking about single women here. So, do you disagree with anything we just said, or are we off base?
I don't disagree with anything. I also want to add, though, that one of the disadvantages is if you meet a couple and they aren't completely secure, you have to deal with the insecurity of the woman. Mm. Because a lot of times, a lot of women and couples, even though they may be into it still, they may fear that you're going to try to take their man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, with that said, it's one of those kind of things of, okay, I'm not like, how do I prove this to you? How do I gain enough trust with you for you to trust me that I'm not looking for anything else?
Right. And I think that's, we see a lot of couples, or some couples, who prefer, you know, they may not want to swap with couples, but they want to like play with one half of the couple just to avoid that kind of jealousy thing, or playing with somebody that's not attached for fear that, you know, their partner or that person will try to, you know, steal their man, steal their girl, or whatever. And if you're going out there with that outlook, you shouldn't be trying to play with anybody in the first place. You know, so I can definitely see that as, you know, having to manage, or not be aware of the couple's insecurities and their lack of communication and understanding between them, which can put you in a very awkward position, because you're not for all that.
Right. Like, I was here to have fun. Like, what's my life?
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the questions we got from a listener a while back was, you know, she was thinking about, you know, I think she just got divorced, or she just broke up with a partner. And I think we, I think this is more common than we probably give it credit for. Women who might have been in a relationship for a while, maybe they felt stuck, maybe they felt like not as free, and now that they're single, maybe they discovered the lifestyle and they're like, oh man, I actually think this is a great opportunity for me to really discover myself, for me to really explore my sexual side. But I don't know anything about swinging. I've never been to a lifestyle club. I don't even know how to manage or, you know, navigate it. You know, what advice could you give to a woman right now, who's single, who is interested in exploring the lifestyle? Like, what is it that she should do, for example, if she wants to go to a lifestyle club or maybe open up a profile? Where should she start? What would you recommend?
As I said before, I'm a researcher by nature and career. So I naturally just look up things about whatever's in your local area and then see if there are multiple groups and multiple options. See which one seems to go with things that you seem to like. So, for example, the reason I chose the club I initially started to go to was convenience to my home and because it had a primarily minority base. So I knew that I would see people who looked like me, whether I knew them or not, and that would give me a slight comfortability in itself. And I felt like it was close enough to home. So as a single person, I would be able to easily leave if I found that I was uncomfortable or whatever the case may have been. Because just like you guys were speaking of the disadvantages, safety is something that is always first priority, and you got to think about that. So
you would say basically, you know, find, you know, a local club in the area, do your research, see if it's the kind of crowd that you're interested in, and just like, just be vigilant.
Just jump out there.
Right. Well, let's dig into that a little bit more because, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot are just like gender norms in general when it comes to dating. I think women are, you know, we have the kind of culture where women are the ones who wait for a partner or a potential male partner to come up to them, to ask them for a date, to ask them if they want a drink, to ask for their number or their Instagram or whatever the fuck young people are doing nowadays. I don't know what's going on out there. But there is that kind of thing, I think, particularly women in the vanilla space are used to. I don't know what you would say to the possibility that that kind of assumption, women sort of going into these clubs and waiting to be approached, is it'll work for them in the lifestyle as well. Would you say that's true, or would you say they need to change their game up a little bit?
I would say they would need to change up their game a little bit. Like, it doesn't always happen to where people come up to you. But I would also try to say, with the change up your game, because the change up your game doesn't necessarily have to mean you have to approach somebody and say, hey, how you doing? You know, I want to play with you. Start up a conversation. Be open to just conversing. Like, you share a laugh with somebody because you both see something funny. Start talking to them. Mm-hmm. Because you never know where that will lead. And that's, I guess, one of the perks of my personality. I've always been, I'm a true ambivert, but in social settings, I'm always the extrovert. I'm always going to laugh and joke and try to engage with people around me. So for me, that's always kind of my opener at play parties, is to just strike up a conversation with someone, especially if I came alone. So even if it's just an innocent conversation that happens over pouring a glass of something, it could turn into something later on.
I'm not a single woman, but like, I don't know if this might help, because I'm, you know, Belle keeps reminding me I'm the extrovert in mm-hmm. this relationship. And I've become really good at starting up conversation, but there's like simple ways of doing it. And I always tell my male friends, like, this is really easy stuff. Like, this isn't like, if you know, this, if there's just one thing you can remember, if you are in a new space, if you're a single woman going into a new club, like it's your first time there, you're not used to it, I think it's important to own that, because that could be a good conversation opener. Like, yo, this is my first time here. Like, you know, like, what is this place like? I mean, have you been here before? You know, how do you guys like it? Like, that's a really simple way to start a conversation. If you're just like, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to begin a conversation. That has worked for me every time.
I agree.
You are the first single woman I think we have had on the show. Mm-hmm. We know other single women out there, and you know, we were kind of on the fence on who to bring on, and we thought that you were great for this one. But we plan to have some more on the show. If folks have any more questions for Elle or any more questions at all, just again, email us at theblackandkinkylifestyle@gmail.com. So now we are at that stage in the show where we get to ask some random ass, crazy ass questions. And the first random ass question is, if you could experience sex as any animal besides a human, what would that animal be? Now, I've been talking for a while, so I'm going to let Belle go first for this one.
I have no idea.
Are you serious?
Like, I was trying to look it up, but I was thinking maybe a bonobo.
What the fuck is that?
It's a type of monkey, but apparently they're real promiscuous, and, like, they enjoy sex a lot, which I guess they're just kind of humans. But,
which is basically you.
Yeah. So I said I'll be a bonobo.
Elle, we're going to go to you next.
I would be a lion. God. Because I want to know, what if lioness get as frustrated as women do when your man screws you and he comes quick and you haven't gotten there yet? Because I don't know if you guys know this about lions, but lions only have sex for like 30 seconds.
Oh.
But yeah. They also have sex, like, they could also have sex like 100 times a day.
Oh.
Right, they could. But there, sometimes their wait times in between could be hours. So when you think about that, it's like, okay, I was so ready to get this dick, like, yes. And then you get there and he comes and you haven't, and you're just sitting there stuck. So I'm like, how do these lioness feel? Like, okay, now I got to wait this next couple of hours and hopefully I'm going to get mine before he comes again. So you know what I mean? Like, what is in there? So that's why I would want to be a lion.
I've been disappointed by every 30-second dick I've gotten. So I would be a frustrated lioness.
You never had like a 30-second quickie that was just mind-blowing?
No. Do you know how long 30 seconds is?
But you got to remember how long it takes us to get a good orgasm anyway. Like, naturally, as women, we just don't get them as quickly as you do. Mm. Or as males do, not you in particular.
So, I don't know. All right. Well, clearly I don't have a vagina, so I'm speaking really out of turn here. But I've always believed that before the penetrative act begins, before intercourse, you could create a buildup that is so intense that once y'all start fucking, like, it's just incredibly explosive. I mean, like, let's say y'all been dirty talking all day, sending each other dirty pictures, like, you know, dirty talk, like, y'all at where your pussy's like wet now. It's been like, it's like started at 9 a.m. in the morning. You sitting in your fucking conference calls or on your Zoom meetings or whatever. You know, you're thinking about all these things that y'all been saying to each other, all these things that you would do with this other person. And then y'all finally meet up and then he goes down on you. Now your clitoris is as erect as fucked. It's engorged, right? He's going down on you. He's licking, your shit is ready to explode, and then he sticks his dick in. After all of that, is it really not possible for you to come in 30 seconds?
No, because if I have not already come from the oral pleasure, then the brief take it out. I mean, stop licking you, stand up, or, you know, decide what position we're getting in for intercourse. It's going to go down again.
Okay.
So then you're going to have to try to build it all back up. And most women don't actually come during intercourse anyway, from intercourse anyway.
Okay. Well, 30 seconds doesn't work. I've never fucked for 30 seconds and came. I'm just saying, I'm not speaking from experience.
So I was like, yeah, what you talking about?
Well, 30 seconds is a short period.
Yes.
But I mean, 5 minutes.
Wait, even as a teen?
As a teen, I wasn't fucking.
Okay.
I said you really weren't fucking as a teen. That's good.
Yeah, I was not. I was a very ugly teenager. I was terribly, terribly unattractive.
You weren't unattractive. You just made some poor choices.
Poor choices. I had some crooked ass teeth. It was terrible.
The S curl.
That's when I actually was getting pussy. When I started that S curl.
Who was getting pussy for the S curl?
And drip, drip.
You used to wear, what are those? I don't know what they're called. They're like the dragon shirts.
Oh.
Like, you remember, Elle, like those, like, graphic.
South Pole, son.
Button-up shirts.
I was killing the game with my graphic shirts, man. With the shits that went all the way down to your knees and shit.
That was. Mm-mm.
Button-ups. I was killing the game with them shits. Anyway. My animal would have to be, so I was going to say lion, but I'm going to switch to my plan B because I figured somebody was going to bring that shit up. I'm going to say the elephant.
Mm.
You know why?
Why?
Because the elephant, before, you know what their foreplay is?
Hmm.
They fucking stroke each other with them trunks. Just imagine that for a second. The first thing you think about when it comes to an elephant is that trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I kept thinking, if I was a male elephant and a female elephant came up to me and started like giving me a hand job except a trunk job because they don't use their hands clearly.
Right.
That just sounded extremely erotic. Like they could like wrap it around like like in a spiral pattern, mm-hmm. and they can just like unspiral it and then spiral it and then just keep going. That would be some that serious sounds like
a cakey type thing. Do you guys know who Keke is?
No, what is that?
Keke is a porn star that has a really long tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I want to say I was introduced to her in like the early 2000s because I was still relatively young. She can wrap, because her tongue is so long, she can wrap her whole tongue around a man's penis and kind of like xylophone play it if you can.
Shit.
Well, I know.
So I've seen her do this in several videos, and I was like, "Oh my god! Like, that is so cool." But I don't have a long tongue like that. But still, as he was talking about that winding, that's what came to mind. Little sidewinder or whatever she called it.
Oh shit! That would be awesome. Be like, "Yo, it's twirling, nigga! It's twirling, yo."
Well, that goes right into the second question.
But before we get there, so L, you need to text me that name. Okay. I know what I'm rubbing off to next later. So
I will say it, so in case the listeners don't know her and they want it, she spells it K-A-K-E-Y.
K-A-K-E-Y,
Keke.
Yeah.
Keke. So, listeners, if you look that up and you feeling what you're seeing, please let us know your thoughts. All right. So, second question. Belle, you could read this one out.
So, what would be one part of your body that you would change and why?
So, I was stuck on this question because I was like, what is the reason that I'm changing my body? Like, I'm one of those. I've always been a body positive person, whether I was big, small, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think mine is extremely superficial because it's a part of me that I've had, like, even when I was skinny, and I would, like, not have back fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, even though I know that there are some men that love it, I'm like, can I just wear a low back dress? Or something. never been able, or can't say I've never, because people still do it, but I've just always been the person, because I'm like, I don't like them, I don't know other people like them, so I'm a cover and rep. So even when I was thin, I never wore anything low back. When I swam, unless I had a two-piece that came down to a certain level, I never wore a two-piece. So that would be what I'd get rid of.
See, and I completely understand that, because even skinny people have back fat, and I don't understand. Like, how is it? Is it? I don't know. But you just can't get rid of it. I think it's a genetic thing.
I think it's just general lack of muscle, honestly. Like, I was talking to a group of people, like, when I was, I want to say, early college, and I realized that women who were taught to actually put their bras on, like, with their hands behind their back, have less back fat than women who were taught to put, to snap it in front and spin it.
So they're not using that, or they're using the muscle more.
Right.
It's good to know. What about you, Bomber?
So, I'm not going to go easy with this one, because I could say the obvious, so I'm going to get a little bit more abstract and say, I would like a pair of dimples.
Some dimples?
Okay. I would like some dimples. Like, I think I have a decent smile, but, like, I would be killing it if I had some dimples. I would be killing it. Like, I could get, like, multi-million dollar deals with some dimples.
Like, I think I could go with that. Because I think dimples just like add to people sometimes. It's like, oh, they're so cute, and they have that dimple or dimples, plural. But yeah, I could agree.
And it's the easiest thing to compliment. Like, it could never get awkward. Like, if somebody has nice dimples and you say, wow, those are nice dimples, it's never like a Me Too situation. Like, it's okay. Like, dimples are adorable. Like, kids have dimples, it's cute. Adults can have dimples, it's cute. They're just something about dimples. And you know what? You say you're a researcher, Elle. We are also in the research arena. And I have no idea what the scientific explanation is for why people like dimples so much.
Why they like them?
Why they like them, and why we have them in the first place. Like, so I feel like there was...
In the first place, because it's a deformity. Uh-huh. Your cheek muscles are not strong enough, and that's where they're the weakest.
Wow. Uh-huh. So, but see, now I'm even more confused, because... If dimples are an indication that you have weak cheek muscles and it's a deformity, then we should have evolved the ability or the tendency to see dimples as a negative trait. But it is still a hypnotic thing. And I don't know. They're just two fucking holes on your cheeks.
But they're also associated with smiling, which is something that is like universally received around the world, too. So it's like... It because it's associated with smiling, it like defies the evolutionary necessity, or you know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I got you. It sort of cancels out the
yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry we got really scientific on this show. Because I know when we're looking for porn stars, nobody types in dimples, or at least I'm sure they don't. I'm gonna try it on Pornhub just to see if it predicts.
I'm sure some people look for dimples.
That's going to be my next search. Let's see, Pornhub figures it out. Like, I can write in one letter in Pornhub. It already knows what I'm looking for.
Because Big Brother be watching.
Yeah. Big Brother's a perv.
Yeah.
So for mine, I'm like you, Elle. Like, I love everything about my body, all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that I have always wanted are, like, hips. Like, I don't have no hips, but I don't have, like the hips that are, like, I don't have the hourglass figure, right? Mm-hmm. I always, you know, admired that figure, and I would want, like, my boobs fine, waist fine. I would just like slightly larger hips, so I have more, like, the Coke bottle shape.
Mm. Girl, you don't need hips. You good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But that'd be my one.
All right. Question number three. Final question. What have you seen done in porn that you do not think you have the ability to do? And why? Shit. Okay. So, there is a trend in porn. I feel like I mentioned it before. But, you know, every once in a while I have, you know, a phase where I'm looking for MFM porn. Which, you know, usually you have your double penetration thing going on. And double penetration, usually it meant one of two things. Either the woman was in a straddled position on top of a guy riding him, or and while she was getting anally penetrated, or she was like in reverse cowgirl. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a position where the woman is doggy style. Mm-hmm. There's one man who's penetrating her regularly, you know, vaginally, like he's doing doggy style. And the other guy is also doing doggy style, but he is, you know, clearly positioned above where, like, you know, he's penetrating the woman anally. Right. But it means that the guy who's penetrating vaginally has the guy's ass literally in his face. Like, not in his face. Maybe just bouncing on his chest or whatever.
Definitely bouncing on his chest.
And all he sees is ass. He sees he sees man ass.
Maybe it's a nice man ass.
Well, that's just not something I'm going to be doing. Like, it doesn't matter what position it's in. It doesn't matter how good the chick's ass or pussy is or whatever. I just can't do it. I don't know if you guys find men's ass is sexy. I just don't see the appeal. I'm glad that women like look at my ass and say, "Ooh, that's nice." But like,
I don't get ass.
It. Yeah.
But I could understand not wanting to look at somebody's ass like in your face while you're fucking
a not girl. When it's man ass, no. If it's another chick's ass, I'd be fine. But if she got a strap on or something, that'd be awesome. But no.
Well, that'd be a way to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing.
Okay. That actually was my thing as well. And it's my thing only because I tried it one time with a toy and a partner. And it was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever felt in my life. Now, it could have been several factors in it. One, I had a glass toy. Of course, you know, the body bends versus, or at least bends a little bit, versus glass doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then my partner had some decent size as well. But I don't know. I'm just kind of like, would I be able to do this? Being that I couldn't do it this one time? So, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've mentioned that DVP and DP in general is just scary to me.
Well, you're not even fucking with anal, period.
Well, this is also true. So there's that. But the one thing in porn I would think would be like anything gross, any of like the gross porn.
What, excrement?
Yeah, I can't. Any other bodily functions that are involved that do not involve like my vagina?
German Scheisser videos. Yeah. You're not doing that.
No, I can't do any of that stuff. Like, I'm just not.
Like,
there's nothing about that that's interesting to me.
Like getting peed on, that'd be.
No.
What about peeing on someone else?
I mean, I guess I could pee on somebody. But I'd be like, okay.
What did you speak to you about it? Like, I had a partner one time ask that, and I couldn't do it.
Really?
I was just like, even as someone who likes to please, I couldn't bring my body to do it.
And the funny thing is, I went in the bathroom and was able to go, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. And because I was just like, what is, you know, so fascinating and sexy about this? And I think because I couldn't wrap my mind around it, I was just like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, no. I just want mostly regular stuff.
Yeah, I cannot. I mean, there's a lot of like pee videos out there. You know, they're like bukkake videos, mm-hmm. except mm-hmm. with pee. Mm-hmm. And like, even looking at the picture, like, it feels like something that would be like, sometimes I surprise myself because I like bukkake videos, but I like kind of gangbangs. I like mm-hmm. like facials. I like videos of women just getting blasted.
Mm-hmm.
by nut shots, but if it's fucking urine, it changes the whole feel of it, and I just get grossed out.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. And the urine is less viscous, so yeah. It's like...
Yeah, and it's sterile, but yeah. Still. No, not doing it. Mm-mm.
Clearly, giving this some thought. I remember one woman begged me to pee on me. She was really bad, too, but...
She wanted to pee on you?
Yeah, she wanted to pee on me. And it never happened. I mean, she had it all set. She was like, just get in the bathtub if you're uncomfortable. And yeah, I could not do it. The one thing I wanted to ask you, Elle, was I never really got a sense of what your preference was, like if you have a physical preference when it comes to your play partners. What kind of men and women do you tend to like? What kind of features?
I really can't say, like, because men, like, I guess I'm an extremist. I like dudes that have a little size and not like just necessarily penis size. Like, I like a thicker guy or I like a really thin guy. Like, the guys that float in the middle, it's like, oh, okay, maybe. Like, it's definitely like they have to have something else going for them. But something about skinny guys and thick guys, like, I really like. Female wise, in general, I can't even say necessarily I have a preference. I like breasts like mine. So I like women that are top heavy. That's pretty much it. Like, I don't, because I'm going to play in general, I don't necessarily have these hangups. It's more, the thing that catches me up is, what does your face look like? Like, if I don't find you attractive in your face, then the rest of it doesn't even matter.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
I can understand it.
Wow. That's interesting. Because I think, who were we talking to? I think it was Bedroom Bliss who said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That there are a lot of guys who are sending like dick pics and pictures of their abs. And it's like, yo, I need to know what that face looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. This is an awesome discussion. Certainly went in areas I didn't think it would go in. Elle, I don't know if you want to tell our listeners anything about yourself as far as where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Instagram at that, THAT, booty, BOUDIE, chick. CHICK, all one word, on Instagram. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
That booty chick. I love it.
It's a great Instagram handle.
Oh my goodness. Should make a t-shirt out of that. any questions people have, please feel free to reach out to Elle. And you could also reach out to the Bell and the Bomber. Again, saying our email for like the fourth time this episode, blackandkikilifestyle@gmail.com. A few other things. If you want to support us, just hit us up on Patreon, go to our website. You can find a link there. If you are interested in the Amore Getaways membership, you can sign up on that baby for a discount if you enter in offer code Black and Kinky. And if you want a chance to get a free 3-month membership, just leave a review for us on iTunes or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts, and you'll be entered into a chance to get that benefit. We want to say, thanks again, guys, for supporting us. Just listening to us really does, put a smile on our faces, because we know this is a rough time. The fact that you can really take out the time to listen to our crazy discussions is really, really a treat. And we hope you are enjoying the content. And Elle, we really, again, appreciate you being on our show.
I appreciate you asking me to be here. It was a great time.
Yes. All right. Peace out, Elle, and peace out, audience.
Bye.
All right, bye. Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky.
Black and Kinky Lifestyle.